Welcome to the Optimism Show. Today we have Charlie, who is the co-founder of Farworld, a Web3 gaming studio specifically focused on Farcaster. And with Charlie, we're going to discuss what it really takes to build a successful Web3 gaming studio. Let's get started. Charlie, can you tell us a bit more about your story, like in the gaming space, and how did you end up in Web3 gaming and really founding a Web3 gaming company?
So it goes back to being a kid. So I was really close with my older brother. We grew up basically in a single computer, single console household. And unfortunately, being the younger brother, you end up spending a lot of time watching games over playing games. And I think something about just watching games and being surrounded by it, I just was always obsessed with gaming. I loved playing games, whether it was, you know, really early Super Nintendo or Xbox. Like, I'd really say, like, you know, middle school when like Halo or Xbox came out and Halos, and then World of Warcraft was like my big addiction in high school when that came out. And so I was always obsessed with gaming. And then my brother and I think always talked about making games at some point in our life. We always talked about like how cool it'd be to make our own game and build games. But after school or in college, I went to school for finance, accounting, did that for a bit, did public accounting. In 2014, my brother, who was also in finance and accounting, he went back to a coding boot camp in Denver, and I went to go see him at the coding boot camp after work one day, and they were all playing ping pong and drinking beer and talking about code, and they were like building and hacking on stuff. And I was like, I just have to be in tech. Like, I have to be in tech. This is where I want to be. And so I ended up going to code school in 2015, and a lot of the reason I went to code school was so that me and my brother could learn to make. Well, we just wanted to be able to build companies. We wanted to build tech. We wanted to like not have to rely on hiring engineers. We wanted to, like, you know, if we had an idea, we wanted to be able to build it. But a lot of the reason we wanted to be able to code too was to be able to make video games. We thought it'd be really fun to build games at some point in our careers. And so when I was in code school, I just actually happened to be in code school with a bunch of, you know, Bitcoin junkies at the time. Guys were just obsessed with crypto, and I didn't really get Bitcoin at the time. I actually have a interesting first day in crypto. Was I bought my first Bitcoin with like the last of my savings because I was in code school and my friends convinced me, and then the exchange I bought it on got hacked that night. So I lost all my Bitcoin. Basically my entire net worth was gone overnight. And I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Like, this, why would anybody ever use crypto? And then after that, I was kind of like brushed it all off. And then a few months later, I went to an Ethereum meetup. And once I learned about like programmable smart contracts, I was like, okay, this makes sense. This is going to be huge. And so I think at that moment is when I got bit by like the blockchain crypto bug more so than the gaming bug. And so after 2016, all I could think about was like blockchain technology and crypto and just like where it was going. But it was early enough in its life cycle that it was really hard to find jobs there. A lot of it was just like hackathons and side projects. And then in 2018, I ended up going to work for a cryptocurrency exchange called Shapeshift. And there I built a product called CoinCap, which was like a coin market cap competitor. And then I built like what Shapeshift is today, which is really like a DAO and like tool aggregator and, you know, DEX, and does a lot of those cool DeFi products. But while I was at Shapeshift, my brother was actually at Kraken, and we always were talking about like gaming. We just felt like there was going to be a ton of opportunity with Web3 and gaming, especially with like programmable smart contracts and programmable money. And we just felt like it lent itself so well to that audience. You know, gamers also seem to be like pretty tech forward and like to adopt cool things and early adopters. And so we felt like that was going to be the real, you know, breakout use case for crypto, was like to onboard billions of users. I think gaming is going to be the sector that does it. And so we ended up launching our first gaming company in 2019, which it took us a couple of years to get off the ground. It was a lot of tinkering and nights and weekends and a lot of iterating. But that was started as, you know, a hyper competitive, like skills-based wagering platform. And that was where everyone would put money into smart contracts. You go play like a battle royale, like PUBG or Fortnite, and then it automatically pay out the winner. I think that was a little bit too early. I don't think there was like quite enough gamers willing to like download MetaMask and buy Ethereum. And all that onboarding was so hard. Just like getting Ethereum into a new wallet was such a challenge. Like a lot of times you had to KYC and go through all the hurdles. So it wasn't quite as accessible as it is now.
The fees.
Yeah, and the fees were crazy. And like, it just didn't make sense. And like, no one knew what a wallet was. Like, all this nomenclature was still like, has become much more understood over the last 3 years, especially after like the NFT craze. But all of this, you know, back in 2019, that was such a bad bear market that like no one even knew if crypto was going to survive at that point. Like, we were all like, you know, kind of down in the dumps. And so that was a pretty nerve-wracking time. But, you know, we just kept building. And so we built the kind of this really community-oriented gaming platform called GamerXYZ, which is really targeted for content creators and people to create quests and tournaments and events for their community. We did that for 3 years, and then we ended up shutting down that company earlier this year. And then we started a new company called Far World Labs, which is really focused on building games and really focused on hyper casual games, and especially games that are built into social media networks. And so, you know, our first product, Far World, is built into the Farcaster ecosystem, but we'll have products and games that are going to be built into Discord, built into Telegram, and really trying to like capture gamers' attention where we feel like they're spending most of their time, which is scrolling social media and interacting with their friends, and try to build gaming experiences that fit into that. So yeah, it's been, you know, yeah, my history with gaming has been my entire life, and been in Web3 for about 9 years now. So it's I really love this space, and I just still think there's endless amounts of opportunity. And I do think it's like the killer use case for blockchain technology to really onboard a lot of people.
Yeah, and following up on that, what you just said, like, really, as you mentioned previously, like, you see, like, gaming will be the part of blockchain that can onboard really millions, billions of people potentially. Yeah. And that part of blockchain that will practically make blockchain truly mainstream. Like, when it comes to gaming and specifically Web3 games, what do you feel are the main incentives for people to play a Web3 game compared to a Web2 game? And actually, let's go cover that before.
Yeah, no, it's the great question, because there is like this very clear distinction between Web3 and Web2 games right now. And right now, the clear distinction is incentives and rewards. Like, you play a Web3 game because you get financially rewarded to play. So like the play and earn model, NFT models, there's not a ton of Web3 games I think a lot of people are playing just because they're having a lot of fun. I think a lot of them are playing them because they are fun, but there's also this like clear financial incentive, whether you're like leveling up NFTs, you're earning tokens, there's just like known, like kind of shared understanding that you'll be farming an airdrop. Again, and I don't know if that's a terrible thing. I do think it's a unsustainable thing. I don't think you can make a successful game where every single user is there to extract value from the platform. Like, if all of your gamers are there to earn rewards, I don't see how that's sustainable over the long run. I think some games have done a really good job of like using the incentive as a hook and then monetizing those people. So some people have been able to actually do what I think is sustainable, which is use the rewards as a marketing spend and then hopefully convert them. But something we learned a lot with my last company, which is, it is so hard to convert users or to change a user's relationship with what they already have with your platform. Like, if a user is getting money to play your game, them staying while not getting money is a very tough thing for them. Like, people like continue to use apps in the way that they really understand. And if you are paying them to play, the odds of them continuing to play when you're no longer paying them is so low. Like, it happens with all types of apps. People just don't change their behavior with them. Like, people like have their relationship with that app, and even if you introduce new features or new concepts, a lot of times like they just continue to use it the way that they know. And so that's a thing that I think is a lot of Web3 games do have problems with. But I think the trend is going to be changing, where I do think you will see the incentive of playing Web3 games will be more way, I think, like, the quality of these games is going to be really comparable to Web2. The friction of getting into Web3 is getting next to nothing. Like, you won't even understand it. Just will be technology on the back end. So a lot of gamers are going to be playing Web3 games without even really knowing. But I think, like, you know, they'll have these moments that are going to be really powerful. I think crypto is filled with these like little light bulb moments that really make you be like, oh, this is awesome. Like, this is so cool. When you like, I think the first time you like have an NFT and then you can go to like OpenSea and buy it, but just by like, or sell it or trade it just by connecting your wallet, and you're like, well, that was cool. And then like all of a sudden you go to like another site and you like connect your wallet, and it's like, oh, here's all these on-chain rewards. Like, we saw you did like this transaction or played this game, and it all is there and pre-populated because you had a wallet connected and it was all on-chain. So I think you have these like little light bulb moments where, as a gamer, something that I think every gamer really wants is like more provenance and like more interoperability and like more I don't know if like ownership's the right word, but like, I think like a catalog of everything that they've done. Like, people love achievements. They would love to be rewarded or incentivized or like even marketed to based on like my activity. Like, it'd be really cool if, you know, because I played a lot of this one game, I now got like a free skin in this new game that's coming out, and like that all just happened automatically. And that all was like really well understood, that like you just start getting like a lot more, I think you get a lot more value out of your time spent in gaming and Web3 because like you're earning tokens and doing stuff on chain. And that's going to be like a really cool driver. And like, I think it's going to change the way gamers like think about the things that they do when they're playing games. I think games are going to feel more rewarding. You're going to feel like you're earning more progress because things are on chain and more permanent, versus when you're just playing a Web2 game, it's like, okay, this stuff goes into a database and is never coming out, and like no one will ever see it again. I think you're going to feel very good by the progression of like this like provenance and doing stuff on chain.
No, that's absolutely true. Like, it's really making it a lot more permanent compared to just the game being on some server that probably within some years is just going to shut down.
Yeah. There's like little things where it's like, oh, you know, we all talk about like, you know, past gaming achievements, and it's like, okay, we just have to like take each other's word for it. Like, it's like, okay, oh yeah, it's like rank 5 or whatever. It's like, were you? Or, and it's like, but then if you were that person, you're like, yeah, I wish I had like a token or badge to like prove it, but like, I don't like know how else to show you that like I did this thing, or like I collected this item or whatever. So I think it's, I just think there's going to be little moments like that where there will be a switch. I'm not sure when, but there will be a switch where gamers will absolutely only want to be playing games on chain versus off chain because of those types of features. And like, I want to play your game because I'll earn NFTs and rewards that I can trade through marketplaces, or that I know will connect with this other site that I use. Because if you use NFTs on this, I automatically get rewards or something on this site. And it doesn't have to be rewards, but like, it can track my profile and this gets shared across my other games that I play with friends. So I think there's will be a switch at some point where gamers will only want to play games that have deep blockchain technology integrations.
Yeah, but I absolutely agree with you on that. And the thing personally, how I see it, is for that switch to happen, like, the entire blockchain experience needs to be a bit smoother than it is right now.
Yeah, and it's gotten crazy smooth, honestly, especially like the ERC account abstractions and those types of things. Like, it's the hardest part is gas. Like, the hardest part is like creating wallets and accounts has gotten so smooth. The hardest part is really just like gas subsidies and those types of things, and then like the cost at scale and how you want to scale it. That kind of leads into like the L2 and L3 discussion we'll probably have in a minute. But it's I think that stuff has gotten so good that it's not really going to be a factor. I do think you can, you know, even with like a lot of these technologies, you can just log in with your Gmail and it'll create a, you know, account at the non-custodial wallet, smart contract wallet for you in the background, and you can fund it with a credit card or fund it through Coinbase. This stuff is getting so good, and I think very familiar to gamers too. A lot of gamers are really familiar to logging in and, you know, buying tokens or buying, you know, fake currencies and like using those to level up their characters. So it's a familiar experience. And I think the reality is if you're a Web3 game, you are much more rewarded to target exclusively crypto people. Like, those are the people that are going to spend money. They're the people who are going to buy your NFTs, or the people who are going to be more active in your community. They're the people who understood the speculation part of your game. And so there hasn't really been a huge incentive to go after Web2 gamers because all the money has been in Web3 so far. But I do think that's like really changing, and it's going to change very quickly over the next couple of years, where the studios that are going like mass consumer adoption and really onboarding Web2 are going to do very well. Because the technology and the infrastructure is getting to the point where you can actually monetize those users very, very quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, once, since you touched on the topic of layer twos and layer threes, like, from the, like, a lot of people are not, and a lot of founders as well, that, or I would say like wannabe founders, are not well accustomed with the potentials of layer twos and layer threes.
Yeah.
And what do you think, like, the impact layer twos and layer threes, first of all, would have on the Web3 gaming ecosystem would be? And the second thing is, like, personally, do you think that the further development of these technologies would eventually bring the mainstream gaming studios, so the big gaming studios such as Ubisoft, or even the mobile ones such as Gameloft, into the Web3 space?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was always a critical problem with like Ethereum and a lot of L1s and mainnets was just throughput and cost. Like, it's like, okay, we want to have an on-chain game, but like, how could we ever do this? Like, this is too slow, it's too expensive. It doesn't like really make any sense in a lot of ways. And so L2s and L3s like bridge that gap in a way that's like, I think, really interesting. And so L2s are actually making it so cheap and fast that like you can actually start building many more games on chain in a way that like isn't going to crumble at scale, like, and that hasn't been possible with L1s. And so L2s and L3s are really this like missing piece of infrastructure for big game studios or large enterprise players to play in blockchain space. Like it wasn't really, it just wasn't feasible. Like it was too expensive. And so I think L2s are this really cool innovation on like using basically what's been built with Ethereum and being able to scale that to, thank you, being able to scale that with the usage that is demanded for games on these chains. And so I think with like, you know, Base and, you know, there's like Arbitrum and like these L2s, they get a scale off Ethereum, and but they also going to be really fast. And now games can actually start building. Like if you're a small game, you can build on these layer twos and they work perfectly. And they're exactly what you want. They're really cheap. They're really fast. They have a lot of community. They have a lot of people with liquidity on those chains. But if you're a really big game that needs even more throughput, being able to quickly spin up an L3 is very, very cool. And I think we'll see that from a lot of big game studios where you might see it on like game, every game might have its own L3 where it is like essentially just like a database replacement where it is where all of your items, all your ledger. And I think blockchains are much more complicated and interesting than a database, but like, I think that's a good way to think about them, which is you will see a lot of like on-chain interactions happening on these chains. And then the coolest part is now all these chains can start talking together. All the chains can start communicating through L2s, and you start getting all these benefits of allowing your users to be playing games that are on chain. And I just think that's where the puck is going for a lot of this stuff, which is I think a lot of small studios are going to be building on these L2s. I think a lot more stuff will be on chain. And then I think you'll see really big games doing all this stuff on their own L3s. And I think that's where you can start abstracting all the gas. You can hide all, you can basically abstract a lot of the complexity of the blockchain from your users. And so as an end consumer, you're just downloading a mobile app and playing game, and you look like you're earning tokens and points and everything looks very familiar, but everything is going on chain. And so I think that's like what is going to be really, really exciting is when all the games that are coming out from Zynga and Gameloft and Ubisoft, they're all on chain. And like, it's always hard to describe what the actual value is because a lot of value has been built yet. Like a lot of value comes from like people building unique integrations and apps on top of those chains. And so, but those things can only exist if the stuff is on chain in the first place. And so I think that's what's really exciting is, you know, one, this stuff is all on chain. You start getting all this more data sharing. You get way more permissionless access. People really start to own their data, and you really start to flip this paradigm of like how we've been consuming the internet so far. So it's really exciting. And it was definitely L2s and L3s were a missing piece in the puzzle for games to be able to do more on chain, more on chain data and interactions.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes the whole experience a lot easier and improves the user experience, especially because in the end, do the users need to know that something is on the blockchain on their first interaction? They just care about the user experience. And this is a nice addition when you can have that achievement or whatever it is actually constantly and permanently there. Like you have it done.
Yeah, exactly. And Chris, like something that I think is like the hardest problem about this too, which is like, if you're someone who likes on chain, you love to know stuff is on chain. And like, that's like, I think the biggest problem is like, it's like, we love to tell people when stuff's on chain. We love to say like, hey, when you, every interaction is a transaction and you do this, this, and this, and everything's a token. And if you're us, you're like, hell yes, that's awesome. I love it. Yeah, I love it. But if you're, you know, XYZ gamer, and like, let's not forget, a lot of gamers are like high school kids and young adults, like, and they're actually very crypto forward, so they might care. But like, there's a lot of people who just don't really care about that stuff very much. A lot of people don't care if you're in a Postgres or a SQL or, you know, a Mongo database. Like, people don't care how the internet protocols work. A lot of people aren't that interested in that. I'd say there's huge cohorts of gamers that are very, very casual that we really want to bring on chain. And we have to acknowledge the fact that like they will never care. Like they just will never, ever care about the on-chain tokens. They'll never care about the technology. They care about playing Candy Crush. They care about playing Words with Friends. They care about the social interactions around gaming. They'll receive a lot of benefits of being things on-chain that almost unbeknownst, like unknowingly, because there are behaving on-chain. But like, I think it's a reality with our where we've been and where we're at, which is we all love it so much that I think it's kind of diluted our marketing, it skewed our marketing. I would say not diluted it. It skewed our marketing to be like, oh, well, we love it and we know how valuable this is. And this type of marketing works super well for everybody that's already here, but is not great for people that aren't here. And so you kind of are at odds with like how you want to grow your product, which is like, it's probably a lot easier just to grow within Web3, in which case you want to be very crypto forward. But sure, if you want any Web2 users, you know, talking about minting and mining and gas, it's a scary hill, and especially in a world that's super competitive like gaming, where you just got to adopt people quickly. So it's a hard battle, and then we're trying to find the right balance. But I do think you'll continue to see the trend of it moving more to the background.
And also, really, now that you touched on the topic, really, on going for Web2 or Web3 users, like so far, since you've been in the gaming space for a while, like what are some things that you really noticed working well for user acquisition and that founders should really pay attention to, and some things that you're really looking forward to maybe trying for user acquisition or that they might be very beneficial even for Far World specifically?
That's a great question. The things that we found super well was picking niches, find niches and try to dominate that niche of marketing and content. So when we launched Far World, we knew this was an idea that could be very big, but we decided to dominate Farcaster and be like, we basically label ourselves as the Pokemon of Farcaster. We said like, we're building this big creature collection game. If you're on Farcaster, you got to be playing this game. If you like gaming, like, and so we just leaned into that technology and we grew really fast because of it. If we just tried to say we're another like Pixelmon competitor, another creature collector, and just started my advertise on Twitter and those types of things, I don't think we would have gotten anywhere. Or I know we wouldn't have gotten anywhere because you're in a much bigger bubble to compete in. So I think as like a founder, when you're creating your startup, you really do want to find the niche that you're going to try to dominate and go from there. Because in the guys that created Farcaster said this really well, because like they are creating like a pretty crypto forward product. And people always ask like, when are we going to start onboarding more Web2 users to Farcaster? And their response is like, we haven't onboarded all of crypto yet. So why are we going after Web2? Like crypto is still a huge cohort of people that like we want to dominate. We want everyone in crypto to be on our platform. And if we can't get them, like, then like it doesn't really make sense to be going after Web2 yet. And so I think that's a good thing when you're trying to do user acquisition is sometimes when you're a founder, you're thinking it's really good to think where, you know, 6 months out, like where you want the product to be. But sometimes with marketing and growth, you need to realize it's important to target and get those like first cohorts of users. And sometimes that's a very different strategy. Like it is like, this is a very crypto forward product. We are going to be very crypto like conscious, or so to speak, of like what are of our features and what we're doing, and try to dominate the niche that we're in and then grow from there. Cause it's a lot easier to grow if you already have a cohort of users. It's really hard to like land in a big pond and then try to start, you know, dominating. It's much easier to be a big fish in a small pond and then keep going.
Yeah, exactly. Like start one place and expand and expand and expand from there, which is like, yeah, even think about it, the entire crypto gaming ecosystem is in very early stages still.
Yeah, definitely. I would say the valuations have gotten, we've been able to capture a lot of value in gaming. I think that's going to just drive more engineers and developers and players over time, because I think Web2 gaming has a very hard time monetizing outside of like really traditional like mobile games and stuff. Like, I think it's something crazy. I think it's only like, you know, 5% of games ever launched on Steam ever like reach a break-even point, like less than that, make it so like they're making a profit. Like it's a really competitive space because there's a lot of people who are obsessed with it. And Web3 has much better monetization opportunities than Web2. And so I think it's going to be interesting, but I do think and that's just like something that we learned a lot was like, sometimes we were so focused on like, hey, well, we don't want to be too crypto focused because like we really see ourselves like, how are we going to onboard Web2 users? But then we were kind of jumping two steps ahead of in our product's life cycle when it's like, well, we could just only focus on crypto. And then like, once we feel really good, then like you're potentially making money and you have a sustainable business. Then it's a lot easier to go after Web2. You can start making pivots and things like that. But getting your first cohort of users is so important. And a lot of times you just need to pick and choose a lane where it is like, I want to be a Twitter focused. I want to be, you know, mobile focused. Like it's really easy to be like, well, we want to be all things to all people. And that's really a death sentence for an app. You really want to be a very specific thing that fits a very specific need and try to dominate something small, I think works much better than trying to be too broad too quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a much more sustainable route as well, especially comparing to a lot of the gaming crypto craze that we saw a few years ago, which was clearly not that sustainable. So now the companies are truly focused on building a sustainable product that will last for years. So the ones that I personally see that will thrive. Of course, there are going to be exceptions, but that is the thing that's going to build the foundations for the entire ecosystem.
Yeah, exactly. And I totally agree with that. I think those are the foundation points, and that's where we need to build on.
One thing that you mentioned, like briefly just mentioned it, and I'm very curious in learning about, is you mentioned about the monetization specifically for Web3 games. So Fireworld is really a free-to-play game for everyone, and correct?
You need to have an NFT to play Fireworld. So you need to have creatures to play Fireworld. So yeah, no, you're good. You're good.
I haven't signed up for Fireworld yet, but I'm looking forward to actually signing up and checking it out.
That's actually good. We're literally about to release like our entire new onboarding flow. So I'll send you a message. Because I'd love to get your feedback.
Amazing. I would love to check that. So when it comes to monetizing like Web3 games and everything, like what are the ways that, first of all, right now you're using to monetize Fireworld on one side to sustain your operations, or like, is it through funding and also like through the monetizing through the app itself, through the game itself? And what are some monetizing ways that you think are very beneficial for Web3 games and that the whole Web3 ecosystem opens for developers and builders of video games?
Yeah, so other reasons why gamers and developers and especially game publishers should be really excited by Web3 is I do think the monetization is really cool, unique, and interesting, where for us, we lean into a lot of NFTs, and we'll be doing tokens at some point here soon for in-game currencies and utility and things like that, where there's a much better ways to get gamers excited to buy stuff when they are on chain. Again, this is kind of that going back to that conversation earlier, but when people know stuff are on chain and they get excited about it, like their willingness to spend and participate in the economy is a lot greater. Like the lifetime value of Web3 gamers is so high. Like these people are really used to spending. I think there's probably some like casino aspects to it where we're all kind of spending this make-believe money all the time. And so like, it gets really easy to be like, oh, it's 0.001 ETH. And it's like, okay, yeah, that's like nothing, but you know, it's like $40. But if I put $40, you probably would never spend it. But like, it's like, oh, I think there's like a little bit of that, but it's, you know, we're all just, you know, these crazy internet crypto nerds. But it's, so I think like NFTs and tokens present this like whole new opportunity for gamers to participate in your ecosystem without just like buying some like platform credit. They're potentially buying an ERC-20 token, they're buying NFTs, they're kind of like buying into your ecosystem where you actually get, not only is it like a great way to monetize, but you kind of start converting your followers into like stakeholders. They're not really just followers anymore. They're people who become very passionate because these things have value. They're tangible, like on chain way. And so that I think that having these models built into blockchains where like these things do have a lot of currency and monetary systems built into it, it just becomes a lot easier to monetize. You're not, once people are in the ecosystem, getting them to spend it is a lot easier than on Web2 rails, especially in crypto, since we do so much signing, we do so many transactions, we're paying for gas. So like, we're just so used to the fact that like you are kind of spending a lot, and like that's a lot of like what crypto is in on-chain stuff is doing. So I think monetizing becomes a lot easier. And then I do think like this ability to like quickly be integrated into marketplaces and be integrated into like third-party applications because stuff is on-chain, there's tons of opportunity for like royalties and revenue percentages. And so even things like there's a friend pet was another like kind of like Tamagotchi style game on Base. Like they were making a bunch of money because they had launched a token really early, and they're making a bunch of money through liquidity pools and trading and people trading their token. And like, that's something Web2 games can never experience. But like, imagine you just launch a token that's an in-game currency for your game and your game starts blowing up. You could be profitable overnight just by the transaction volume of trading on your token. Even if the token price stays the same, you could just be making enough money through transaction volume and interest in your game and what you're building to be sustainable for your game studio. So not only are like games like able to monetize their user base a lot more, there's like markets are you monetize yourself in the marketplace a lot easier. So I think those things are just something that don't exist in Web2 and things that are, I think, are really, really exciting if you're a game studio, because so many games have currencies and inventories and marketplaces. They have a lot of these like core building blocks that you don't really monetize, but like are just instantly monetizable outside of your game if you're building on chain.
Yeah. But that's actually a whole other perspective that a lot of game studios don't take into consideration. And then let me ask you this, like, for example, let's say there's a Web2 gaming studio that is looking to get into Web3. Like, what are some suggestions or some advice that you would give to the founders of these smaller indie video game studios that will, like, you have already went through a lot of challenges and have paved the way yourself. So what are some mistakes that, for example, you'd advise them to avoid, or some things to pay attention to? And what are the things to actually put their focus on when developing into Web3?
I'd say if you're coming into Web3, like, I would say have a more short-term focus. I would say if like you're dipping your toes into this, I think there is something very good about being like becoming a crypto product where it is like, we do have NFTs, we do have tokens, like we're doing a lot of stuff on chain. Like, I do think that stuff is rewarded in Web3. Like, I think those studios do get rewarded that are not so much trying to abstract everything. Like, I think it's, which I do think is the trend over the long term, but I do think if you're a small studio and you're trying to get into Web3, I do think it's very good to be public about things being on chain. I also think there's really cool, interesting ways to bite off chunks. If you don't want to go all in on Web3 and your games, you're like, you know, I'm just like Web3 curious, but I do want to have like see like what the benefits could be. You could do something like what Zynga did, which I thought was really cool with Sugartown, where they just did a bunch of NFTs and you just use those NFTs in the game. And that's really all the integration. And that's like a really, really simple thing to do on like a technical, like from a technical standpoint, is to see like if someone holds an NFT or a wallet and like basically give them some sort of art in game for your game that you're making. And it's like a pretty simple on-chain connection. Users get to like own NFTs that they can go trade on OpenSea or Magic Eden. And the game didn't have to incur like a bunch of technical overhead, but maybe you get to start to see the benefits of like, oh my, I'm making like revenue on this NFT trading all the time. And now I have this like NFT I can reward people with. It's like absolutely one of my favorite things as a founder, like with NFTs. And, you know, we have packs and creatures. I love that I can just give away packs to users who are doing the right things, or I can give away creatures that are rare. Like, it's so nice to like have this like base incentive already like built into my product that I can just be like, oh, I don't need to come up with this like crazy elaborate scheme to like get you to try to do something. I can just like give you the things that you already really want and are like farming in the game, whether it's tokens or creatures. So I think those are like the two things that I would say is like, if you're really curious, just like go all in, just like become a crypto company. I think if you're just like slightly curious, I think just like launching an NFT that is like your creature or items or things that, I think like items are a really good thing for like RPGs. Like, you could just like put those on chain. And again, I don't think it's like, there's just like not that big of a technical hurdle anymore. Like, a lot of these tools and infrastructure just makes it so easy to track that stuff. And I think there's just a ton of upside to trying it if you're a game studio.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, one last question from mine, like, what is the future of Farworld in the coming months or a year? Like, where are you headed and what is your plan there?
Yeah, so our company is called Farworld Labs. Farworld was like our first game. Farworld is really just going to keep going in whatever direction we think is like really interesting. I think Farworld has been this amazing project for us because we just like keep trying to find things that we think are fun and cool. And we're trying to be like really iterative about it. We're trying to be like, we have this big vision of like, you know, the end goal is always like, we're building Pokemon. Like, we want something that has great IP and like a lot of like you know, assets and stuff behind it. But like, so that's like the end goal. It's like, okay, if we want to try and build this like great IP product, this great game that has all this like different utility, like that's where we're going. Like, what's like the next thing that we can work on? And so, but it's, and so our roadmap in the short term is actually just pretty small for Farworld. We just kind of are trying to look, you know, 6 weeks out and see like, okay, there's this, you know, Telegram mini apps are getting really big. Is there like an integration we can make with Telegram that like makes Farworld more fun and we can onboard new users? A lot of what we're doing right now is trying to like, we're trying to update like the core game loops, I think, to make them a little bit more interesting than they currently are. I think the core game loops are a little repetitive. And so we're trying to release in our next version, which I'm very, very excited about, is I think it'll really be like a huge upgrade over like your core gameplay of like what you're doing every day and like how the game continues to grow. So Farworld, I think that's where we're going, is just trying to, we're trying to take it day by day and just, and figure out what's going to be like the most fun, like next step for the game and try to build very out in the open. And then the next big project of Farworld Labs is called the Farcade. And the Farcade is really a much bigger, you know, platform play that's really leaning into like hyper casual gaming, social gaming, and like mobile. And this is really meant to be one of those products that is trying to onboard, you know, your mom and dad, your friends and family. Like, this is a product that we want to be, I'll bring up like Words with Friends. We really want this to be a viral mobile gaming product that like you feel like everybody's playing at some point. Like, you feel like all of your friends are playing on the Farcade. And so that will be like, I would say, less Web3 forward product. That's going to be one of those things that is going to be like a very consumer app oriented product that will have a lot of on-chain features, but all that stuff will kind of be in the background. And so that's where we're going. We're really excited by consumer apps, I guess. We really just feel like that's the name of the game right now, is there's a lot of infrastructure. There's a lot of really cool stuff that's been built over the last 10 years in crypto. So I think we need the consumer apps. We need like the stuff that's going to onboard a lot of people. So that's what we're doing.
Exciting times. Plans. I love that.
Yeah, it is exciting. I feel very excited as a builder, because I do believe like, I just feel like the technology is actually here for mass adoption. I don't think it's really ever been here for a long time. I'd say like recently in the last 6 months, I do genuinely feel like we have the tooling. We have the chains. We have the technology. We can do it. So now we can start onboarding.
Yeah, it's time to build those consumer apps that can actually change things up.
Yep. And so that's our plan. That's where we're going.
Charlie, is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners or with budding video game development entrepreneurs that you think they should hear?
No, I mean, I think the reality is just keep building. And just like, I think the thing that I'm most excited about is like on-chain is a very important thing. I mean, we're seeing what's happening with the founder of Telegram right now. He's might be in prison for life, like for doing something I think is like a core fundamental human right, like of just communicating and, you know, ownership of data and just, you know, independence on the internet and privacy. And I do think there's a really big movement that needs to happen, which is bringing people on chain and, you know, decentralizing a lot of what we've built over the last 20 years in technology. Like, I do think these are really important movements. And I think gaming is going to be a huge enabler of bringing people on chain. And I think it's a really important thing. So I'd say if you're building in this space, like I'd say just like have some responsibility and be excited by that opportunity, like, which is to change the world in a very positive direction by like bringing on decentralization and privacy and financial sovereignty. It's a really noble thing to be pursuing. And I think sometimes that can make it a little hard as a developer, because blockchain technology isn't always the easiest, but I think it's a very great thing to be pursuing and to stick through, because I do think people building in this space right now will be rewarded, because I think it is a very good thing that will not only move gaming forward, I think it'll just move humanity forward in a way that we want it to. So that's my little last thing from my pedestal, I'll say, Chris.
love it. Charlie, thank you for joining the Optimism Show, and really glad to have you here.
No, thank you so much for inviting me, Chris. I was really happy we got to do this. And yeah, we'll do it again. We'll talk in 6 months and see where Farworld's at. Hopefully we'll be up from here.
Absolutely. I hope so as well.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you for tuning in with us on this episode of the Optimism Show. To get the keynotes of this episode, go to insights.optimism.show. And don't forget to leave a comment on who would you like to see as our special guest on the next episode of the show. And until then, stay optimistic.